reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." That was Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, January 19th, 2024. Joining me in the studio is the same group that was here last week for last Friday's edition of Mark and Friends. We have the Fernalds, the Zules, Alaric, and Pastor Jason Schiffo. And last week, I'm still loving and reveling in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, today we're going to learn some other things that are part of God's will. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments about loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Loving our neighbor as ourselves, high callings, but we're in a new year. We can move forward in confidence, trusting that God will equip us to do these things in his name, to his glory.
Yeah, so as I said in last week's program, as we get into the new year, we make all kinds of resolutions, and we talked about that, all kinds of positive changes we want to make in our lives. And the only way we're ever going to make any of those positive changes is if we put prayer at the top of our list. If we put seeking the Lord and his power, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first, is the only way we'll have any shot at accomplishing any of the other things we want to do in our life. You know, it's funny, I had a friend of mine who did a lot of health and fitness stuff, and he would tell me all the time that in order for somebody to succeed at something, they have to have a really big why. Why they're doing it. And I said to him, I said, well, I agree with you. I think why we're doing it is important. But I think how we do it is actually the most important thing. And for those of us who are the followers of Jesus, the how is through the strength of God. And that comes by seeking him and seeking his will and seeking his way. And so I want to ask today this question. What is our motivation for prayer? What motivates us to pray?
Often because we need help.
Okay,
we don't understand how to do things.
And I think Jesus was very clear about that in the upper room, wasn't he? He said, I've got to go because I need to send a helper, which I think he was trying to say, you guys need some help. Anybody else? What is our motivation for prayer? Help? What else?
Other people have concerns and problems.
Okay, other people have concerns and problems. We make intercession for others.
Yeah.
What else? What else is our motivation for prayer?
Well, you mentioned a lot of it last week, to build that relationship with God, to get to know him, to seek out his will, his leaning, and to hear his voice, not maybe physically hear his voice, but to have impressions that he sends to us as we pray and we get to know him. Or fall in love with him is how you gave the example of why you loved talking with while you were dating Tasha.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Motivations for prayer?
Get to know God better.
Get to know God better, yep.
To be thankful.
Be thankful, yep. See, a lot of people would say prayer is a discipline or prayer is obedience, that prayer is something we ought to do, that we should do, that we have to do, that we're commanded to do. And all of those things are right. And all of those things are true because that's what the Word tells us. But I also think that our motivation, our chief motivation in prayer, should be because we love God. Mm-hmm. That we love him supremely above all things. That our relationship with God, that relationship we talked about last week that we're pursuing, is so important to us, not because of anything religious that we know, but because we're so in love with God. I mean, just think about it. Again, I'm going to go back to kind of the analogy of dating or being in a relationship. When you're in love with somebody, what will you do for them?
Everything.
Yeah, you'll do anything. You know, it's funny because as much as I could say throughout my life that I loved people, the first time I held one of my children, I really could say, I would give my life for this person. I would do anything for this person. And boy, have I. But, you know, when we're in love with somebody, that motivation pushes through all of the barriers or all of the things that might keep us from actually doing the things that we say we're going to do. You know, when we say we love somebody, we're willing to color outside the lines. We're willing to make time, to do whatever it is. And so I think that, yes, prayer is discipline and it's obedience. It's something we ought to do, that we have to do. It's commanded in God's word. But all of that is because we love him, that we love him. In fact, Jesus will say that if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Now, that's interesting, because when we say love, this isn't kind of the kind of love we think about, like this plithy kind of romantic love that we could fall in and out of. This love that we have for God is persistent, and it's consistent, and it's important. And it's the kind of love that we have for God that drives our prayer life. It causes us to bring our hopes and our dreams and our hurts and our healings and our frustrations and everything that we seek to him. Why? Because we know that all of that is safe with him. Why? Because the Bible tells us that he works for the good of those who
love him.
And so we know that, and so we come to that throne with just a kind of zeal that's rooted in the love of God. And not only that, not only do we come to God because we know that we love him and he loves us, not only do we come to him with our hopes and our dreams and our hurts and our healings and our frustrations and all of those things, but we bring others to him in the same way. You know, it was so interesting when I was dating my wife, and I keep using this analogy, but I was so in love with her, I wanted to introduce her to everybody. I mean, everybody, I want to be like, you should meet Tasha. You should meet Tasha. And even now when I meet people and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so good to meet. I said, you need to meet Tasha, because I'm nothing compared to, like, she's amazing. You know, everybody loves Tasha more than they like Jason. And God says in this passage, and it was interesting before we even began the program, Mark's like, are you sure this is the right passage? Matthew 20, you told me, this has nothing to do with prayer. But actually it does, because it says, you shall. I love how this begins. Jesus says, you shall. He doesn't say, if you will, maybe you will. You shall, meaning you should. You ought to. You better. What? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Think about that. All your heart, all your soul, that's what's spiritual. So your heart, that's the center seat of who you are in Jewish thinking. Your soul, that's all that you are spiritually. And then your mind, all that you think. Jesus is saying, bring all of that to God. Bring all of that. Why? Because God loves you and you love him. Bring all of that to him. So all the things you're thinking, pray to him about those things. All the things that's in your heart, pray to him about those things. All the things that you're spiritually struggling with. And I think that when I say struggling, I mean that you're working out. Because none of us have got all that worked out, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're all wrestling with what it means to follow God. Bring that to him in conversation and prayer and talk to him about that. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. He says, this is the first thing you need to do. Love God so much that you bring to him all that you are, everything that you are, not some of it. That's not even a good relationship, is it, when we only share some of who we are?
That's right.
And listen, when we do that, we always cherry pick, right? We just present the best of us. And God's like, really? Come on. You know, that might work with your neighbors, but with me, I can see your heart. I know your thoughts. I know who you are. Bring it all to me. And you know what's so amazing about the love of God that he has for us? Is that he knows the worst parts of us and he loves us anyway.
Yes.
We sang the song in church this past weekend that says, incomparable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. What the person that song is singing is he's saying, Lord, you see the worst parts of me. And you still say, I love you. And so our motivation for talking to God should be love.
Well, I thought of that Romans verse, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't wait till we measured up or did everything right. He demonstrated it when we weren't worthy of it.
Right. And then this verse says this, that's the first and greatest commandment. Is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, to bring all of yourself to him. And I think that's in prayer, because that's how we first and foremost devote all of ourselves to him. It's in prayer, in talking to him. And then it says the second is like this one. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if it's like, it means it's the same but different. Why is it different? Because it's not you, it's others. But it's the same thing, that you're coming to God and you're bringing your neighbors to God in prayer. You're saying to the Lord, Lord, I love you so much, and I know you love us. I know you love my neighbor. I know you love Mark, and I know you love Alaric and Sharon and Ron and Elmer and Gail. I know you love them, so I want to bring them to you. in prayer. I want to bring their hopes and their dreams and their hurts and their healings and their everything about what they're going through. I want to bring it to you, God, and pray to you and talk to you about it.
And that fits so well with the Lord's Prayer, because it's give us, forgive us,
right.
You know, our Father, you know, it's that plural, it's that Hebrew way of thinking.
See, my concern is this with the motivation of prayer, is that we'll see prayer as a duty and we'll begrudgingly come to God in prayer. Rather as seeing prayer as something that's motivated by love, and we can't help but come to God in prayer. Because when I love something, when I love somebody, I just want to do it. I just want to give myself to it.
And I like that what you're saying here, and it's not just us going to God, it's us interceding or going to God on behalf of others.
Right. You know, it's interesting that we could say that we would love our brothers and sisters, but we wouldn't pray for them. Because then what love is there in that? The most loving thing you can do is to bring those people to the one who loves on a level that we can't even define. The one who loves supremely. And so if somebody would read for me Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 1 through 4.
Colossians 3, 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Yeah. The NIV says it this way. If then, so he begins with a question, if then, any of you is what he's really saying. If then you have been raised with Christ, so any of you know Christ, you found new life in Christ, you're a follower of Jesus, set your heart on things above. Set your mind above, not on earthly things. So, listen, that's the same thing that Matthew 22 was saying, right? I set my heart and my mind, I set who I am upon who?
On the Lord.
On the Lord. And then it says, not on earthly things. I love that. You know why? Because I wrote in my notes, you're not on earthly answers, but on godly guidance. Because godly guidance trumps earthly answers every single day. And we're only going to get those when I set my heart and my mind on the Lord. When I only set one of them on the Lord, the other one's going to argue for earthly answers. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, how many of us in our heart, we're like, I need to pray about that. And then our mind goes, but you should Google it first. No. If then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. Set your mind above, not on earthly answers. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. Your life is in Christ. Your life is defined by Christ. So why wouldn't you not go to Jesus to find the answers pertaining to your life? And then what I love about this verse in Colossians 3, 1 through 4 is that verse 5 says this, so then put to death, and then it gives a long list of earthly things. All those things that can get in the way of us seeking the Lord with our whole heart. Going after and pursuing the Lord with our whole heart. Those things that want to distance us from the voice of God that we find when we seek him with our whole heart. And it reminds me of Jeremiah 33 and 3, which says this, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Sometimes I think some of the things that God tells us that we don't know are the things we need to know the most. And things that are opposite of those earthly answers. You know, I have daughters, and one of the things that really frustrates me, and I may even get emotional talking about this because it really frustrates me, is the earthly answer or the earthly voice continues to want to tell my daughters they're not good enough, they're not beautiful enough. That if they just get this makeup or their hair done this way or they dress this way or they do whatever, they'll be beautiful in the eyes of the world. And these young girls wrestle with that because they hear that voice and they want naturally to find acceptance. So if I just do this, and I just do this, and I just do this, and I just do this, maybe I'll be beautiful. And the voice of the Lord that cries out from his word says, you are already wonderfully and beautifully made. Why? Because He made them. And so if they don't set their heart and their mind upon the Lord, if they don't seek after him with their whole heart, those earthly answers are going to continue to go, you're not beautiful enough. You're not, and you'll spend your whole life trying to pursue a kind of beauty that you already have, but it's rooted in the Lord, not in earthly answers. And so we need to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and pursue him like crazy. Talking to him about everything. And he says that when you call upon me, I'm going to answer and I'm going to tell you great things. And some of the greatest things, the revelations that he's going to tell us, are the things we need to know the most. How about this? I have loved you with an everlasting love. You are mine, and no height, no width, no anything in all of creation can take you from me. The words that the Lord speaks to us that we need to hear the most. You know, it's interesting. I come across people all the time, and the thing that they need to know the most is that they're loved. Not that they're successful, not that they're any of that. In fact, I've sat with senior saints at the end of their life. We've been in a hospital or the hospice or wherever we've been, and whenever I've been to them, it's not ever a conversation about how much money they have, how much this they have, what they attained, and how they got there. It's always a conversation about love. How much they're loved, how much they love the Lord, how much they can't wait to meet Jesus. How thankful they are that their family who loves them is gathered around them in those final moments. It's not an earthly answer kind of conversation. It's a heavenly one. And so what is our motivation for prayer? It ought to be love. It ought to be love. I love the Lord so much that I just want to talk to him. It's interesting. My youngest son, Samuel, he's 10 now, and he talks with me all the time, almost to the point where it's frustrating, you know, like, I'll just be doing something, and I'll be, dad, 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 and I'm like, what? I was just wondering, how long do you think the muzzle is on a tank? I don't know. Okay, thanks. Dad, 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 dad. How many YouTube channels are there? I don't know. Okay. Thanks, Dad. Here's the thing. And my wife had to remind me of this. He loves me so much that I'm the first person he goes to. Mm-hmm. I'm the first person that he seeks, even though I've proven to not have any knowledge of the things that he wants to ask me about. But I'm the first person he comes to. Mm-hmm. And so do you love the Lord so much that he's the first person that you go to? And listen, he doesn't have Jason kind of limited knowledge. He has all knowledge. Jeremiah says he knows great and hidden things that he desires to tell you. And then I want to close with this. Corinthians says in 13:7 that love does what? It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes in all things. And it endures in all things. That's our prayer life. Our prayer life is that we know that the one that we love, he can bear all things. Why? Because he said to come to me. Give me it all. I can carry it. Look at these shoulders. Believes all things. Hopes in all things. Endures all things. And then it's fascinating. Verse 13, it says, faith, hope, and love abide in these things. But the greatest of these things is what?
Love.
Love. Love trumps all. From the cross to where we stand today, the love of God trumps all. And so that should be the motivation for our prayer. All of our prayer life is motivated by a love for God.
You know, I was thinking, Jason, and I've realized this of late, but it can be, seems like, is oftentimes a distraction, somebody coming and interrupting you, and I can sometimes be frustrated, or I have an agenda, or I'm pressed for time, and I don't want to talk, but the conviction is, do you want them never to come to you? Don't you really want them? They want to come and talk with you, and it's like whether it's your spouse or a child or somebody else, they're coming to you because they like you or they need something from you or they want to talk. And I just have to find myself many times, hey, I got to look at, do I not want them? Of course, I love them. I want them to come, but I can't look at it as a distraction or I got to get my agenda done. And so I'm learning that slowly.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because not only that, but you're also modeling for the next generation what that looks like. When I was a kid, I remember My mom would play this record all the time, The Cat's in the Cradle. Mm. And this record was, the story of this record was the son coming to the father, and the father would say, "Late, some other time we'll do that. Dad, can we play ball together? I'm busy right now, later. Dad, can we? I'm busy now, later." And then in the old age in the song, the father calls the son, and the son says, "Yeah, Dad, I don't have time right now. I'm busy. Maybe later." Mm-hmm. And I never want to teach my son that he should pray later. I want to teach him that he should pray now.
And I think you weave this into both last week's message and today, that God's accessible, that he's desiring that we come to him, mm-hmm. that it can be day or night. He's unlimited. He has the capacity to hear all of our prayers, but he does want us to come personally, mm-hmm. and that yep. is accessible. And I think you didn't really touch on this directly, but when we know the character of God, that he loves us, that he cares for us, it's amazing. And we would be drawn into that relationship if we truly understood God's character.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, listening friend, we serve a great God. He loves you. He designed you. The way you are is part of the way he wants you to be, other than he wants to continue to refine you, to have you know him better, and then to follow his ways, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in cadence with the Spirit's leading. God has plans and purposes for your life, even this day, but know that he loves you, that he cares for you, and he made you the way you are. And we can surrender and submit and be all that he wants to be in and through us as we get to know him. So read your Bible, talk with a friend, be in church, and I hope you'll be blessed knowing that in this new year you have a chance to have new starts. But first and foremost, get to know God better. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
May the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. May you find that long-awaited golden day today. May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.